33 ratio.
So as you know, we try to go on all three dimensions or more, as many as we can get into. So I wanted to take this opportunity to really try to get into something that's always bothered me, but I never really dug in. Namely, everybody knows that when Eliezer meets up with Rivka, that he gives her gifts. And you've probably heard before that the gifts have all kinds of symbolism. Yeah?
Yep.
And the question is, what's up with the symbolism? Did she understand the symbolism? Was she three? how much was she understanding
back
over
then,
here?
Three was really 15.
They're very precocious. So let's take a look at the pasuk, because when you start to look at the pasuk, all of a sudden, you start to notice things that you didn't necessarily notice before. So the first of the Mar Mekomos on the sheet is the pasuk that we're going to revolve around. Vayhi kasher kilua gamalim lishtois. And it was after the camels have finished drinking. Vikach ha'ish, the man, which is Eliezer, but interesting that he's called ha'ish. Sometimes he's called the Eved, sometimes he's called the Ish. Sometimes apparently he's behaving as an Eved, sometimes maybe not. Maybe there's another idea behind the fact that he's being called Ish also, so we'll have to see that as we go. But he's referred to in this particular pasuk as an Ish. He takes a Nezem Zahav. What's a Nezem?
Nose ring.
Okay, probably a nose ring. Some kind of ring. It's made out of gold. Beka Mishkalo. Its weight is a Beka. What's a Beka? What was her name?
Rebecca.
Okay, here we go. No, so I don't think
is
it
that
was
Torah humor.
Yes, I don't think it was a reference to her. But okay, we'll have to figure out what that means. Rishnei tzmidim al yodeha, and two bracelets on her hands. Asar zahav mishkalam, 10 gold, something gold pieces. 10 gold. I don't know. 10 gold. Some funny. Okay.
They definitely called 10 gold. Zai, so it must have been mishkalam. Tiffany's or something.
Oh, was it expensive? Was it not expensive? So there are a number of questions. Yeah. The first question is just a pashup shot question. Let's read the pasuk carefully one more time, and you tell me if linguistically anything sounds off to you. And after the camels finished drinking, so the man took a nose ring and bracelets on her hands.
No, it doesn't say he
placed them. No, it doesn't say he gave it to her.
He handed it.
Where does it say he handed it? Which word, this is my Rebbe in high school, which word means he handed it? Which word
it was
means
implied,
he gave it to her?
Implied.
It's implied. Is
it's
that
implied.
The Torah writes?
The Torah is, yes, the Torah is cryptic.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What's the word it says?
After the camels had finished drinking, the man took a nose ring and two bracelets on her hands.
So that means he put it on his hand.
Okay, but you'll notice it doesn't say that. Where did he take them from? Where were they before?
Stash.
In the stash.
Yeah.
Does that matter? If I was writing this pasuk, and okay, obviously it's the reason I'm not, I would have said, and he put these things on her. I would have left out Vayikach, but who cares? Who cares where they came from and that he took them? The point is not that he took them. The point is that he gave them to her. Isn't that the whole point? So you'll notice in the pasuk right away that there's something strange going on over here because it doesn't say that he gave them to her. That's number one. Number two, why is Eliezer giving her anything?
Because he had a lot of amunah kedushin.
Because he lived in New York and not in New Jersey. In New Jersey, you pump the gas, the guy does it for you, so you don't pay him. But in New York, if someone pumps the gas for you, you pay him. No, you give a tip.
Yeah.
And she pumped a lot of gas. All of it. No.
The water's the gas, camels.
Camels, gas. Yeah, no. What is he paying her for? Like what, you know, what's the pashup shat? Hakaras hatov? Is it payment for pumping the gas? Is it more acceptable
sounded
back
like
then
he had a divine
to give random jewelry to random three-year-olds? At Wells? Is it just what they did back then?
Kenyan.
A Kenyan for what?
But she's three. She can't make it.
To marry her.
There's a whole scene of Pekudda previously because Eliezer sort of goes through and says, if I come to this place and this
right
happens to me. So he sort of gives this whole prediction of things that will happen and then because that's how I'm going to know that that's the right person. And then sort of
for Yitzchak. So you want to say what?
The things transpire the way he expected. He says, "Oh, this is going to be the
good." So take the next step. So what's he giving her anything
that's
for? So you want to say this is kiddushin?
Well,
Mm-hmm. He's a shaliach. He's a shaliach for Yitzchak to marry Yitzchak.
Technically, the shaliach of Avraham.
Ooh, that's even more complicated then. By the way, that works, right? It works. You can be Makadish, a woman.
Yeah, with the shaliach.
I just, in case, you know, just keep it in mind, it's not good for the pictures.
Right.
Wedding pictures.
At least there's problems.
Anyway, I'm just making sure. You can't have a shliach for a kiddush. Mitzvah is a mishloach. Maybe it's like, right, knew about it. Somebody knew about it. Okay, possibility.
The things that he also thought for, not the things that Avram asked him to.
Oh, for sure not. The whole tefillah that he made was not, and nothing to do with what Avram told him to do at all. Yeah, but we're going to leave that up for now. Okay, so let's say that it was some kind of kesef kiddushin, or maybe it was a gift, or maybe whatever it is. However, we're going to explain that. Next question is, why does it make a difference what the specific ones were? Right?
I mean, the jewelry, why?
What's the difference? Did you want to know that it was a nose ring?
Myself is in London.
Everyone, your wife wears a nose ring. A jewelry trade. Giving it away, maybe. Anyway, I think that's a good question. Who cares what? And if you do care, for some reason, what they were, do you care how much they weighed? What?
He was a Hungarian.
It emphasizes something.
What character?
Do you remember the Gemara Sukkah that we did where they described the thousand, what, the Esrog that cost a thousand something? What was it? Remember it was Rabbi Elazar who had the Esrog, and why they tell him...
Right.
Why did the Gemara find it necessary
to... He paid a lot for a mitzvah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is paying a lot for a mitzvah?
When Avram tells you to do something.
For a really significant in general, Lavan notices it and Eliezer repeats it over.
Okay.
Well, that's even more strange. He repeats the whole story again.
It says Lavan noticed he saw the nose ring in the...
That may have something to do why Eliezer did it?
Something out of the ordinary?
You wanted him to notice that, maybe?
Of course. Why can't we wear nose rings anymore?
You can. We'll talk later.
Men said men used to wear nose rings and earrings.
Specifically, why did
I don't know if the men did. That's a good question.
That's why
the women. For sure.
Why do you want to drill something through your nose?
Maybe you wanted them to be able to give. So give them gifts, and that would have to be expensive gifts. Also, it's hard to know. Was this expensive or was this not expensive?
I know that.
This is the beginning of the parsha.
That
what's the 400 between me and you?
Right.
And Rashi has to tell us what the value of the 400 actually was. He has to elaborate that it wasn't like, you know, I'll give you a little bit of change, you'll just find there. It was a little sample sum.
Yeah.
So the 10 here could potentially be in reference to the 400. So Lavan existing in the same time space, all of a sudden wants to have an impression of like, oh, who might potential, you know.
Right. So maybe it was all part to get them on board.
Says, you know, how big is the diamond? You know,
yeah, like so, Nasa Moshe or something like that too. Maybe it's to get them on board. That they should give her. Maybe
yeah, I wouldn't say wait if it's cheap nothing. I probably wouldn't imagine.
So this could go in both ways. Either it's going to say how much it weighs, so that we'll know that it was very expensive, or Hashem wants us to pay attention to the message of it because it was not expensive.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out the numbers of
the expensive
way. Okay. The lack of indication that he actually gave it to her, right? Remember, it says vayikach, but it never says vayitain. Never says he actually gave it to her. Leads to a significant machlokes in the pshat between Rashi and Rambam. Rashi, you may remember, see, he writes that Rashi Eliezer kind of changed the story a little bit. This is what Rashi writes, because originally he gave her these gifts before he even asks her name. But when he tells her the story to Lavan and Mesuel, he doesn't tell the story like that. He tells the story, and I asked her who she was. And she said, it's me. And I said, ooh, Rebecca, this is for you. So that's when he gave her the gifts.
And it says, well, Asim over there.
But yeah. Well, Asim, he placed it. Right. So Rashi learns that he changed the story because they would think he's nuts. But the truth of the matter is that he gave it before he even knew who she was. That's Rashi. The Ramban disagrees. That's the first of the Marim HaKomas over here. Second of the Marim HaKomas. Ramban writes, the language you'll notice here is Vayikach. It's missing the action. And he gave it to her or on her or whatever. So I say, he took them. Al yodeha doesn't mean he actually gave them to her. He just prepared them. They were going to go on her hand. And then he asked her, hey, what's your name? And after she says, Bas Mesuel Anochi, Sam Hanezem Alapa, Batsmin Al Yodeha, he had them ready. That's Vayikach. But not yet. What's your name? And then he actually put them on her, like he says later. Why would you say that he lied and changed the story? That's exactly what happens, says Ramban, the whole time. So the linguistics in the pasuk actually lead to a machlekes in the pshat between various mafarshim. Either way, he did give them to her eventually, according to everybody. He was given. In their eyes. No, I mean, even according to... No, I don't know. The Ramban says, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. Either way, why does the pasuk leave us hanging? Right? It's not a question. However, even according to Ramban, why does the pasuk have to do that? Something that always bothered me, I assume it bothers you also, is that we always have to ask ourselves in these situations when they're going to be like hints in what was given and the amounts are a reference to something else. So, is that deliberate? Did Avram Avinu say, Eliezer, when you find the girl, we're talking Becca, and we're talking Asara Zaha, like is that what he told Eliezer? Another possibility? That's one possibility. Another possibility is, if this is like Hashem telling us something. Hashem snuck in a remez that we should understand something, but Avram Avinu didn't necessarily have it in mind, but Hashem wants us to know something. Or, another possibility, or another issue really, is was she supposed to understand it? Hard to believe, right? Or then what's the point? It's just for us to know later on? Or is it to put something in motion? Is the message that something actually occurred because it went over and transferred? So we'll discuss that more, but that's definitely something that we're wondering about. And you get the impression, perhaps, that the reason why the focus is not on the giving of it, but it's on the setting it aside and the designating, and that's really the only focus of the pasuk. Maybe it's not so much
and
about
the type of jewelry
her
getting
it. It's not so much about her getting it, right? It's about there's a message here that we need to focus on, and that's why the focus is on that. He took it, he set it aside. To marry Yitzchak?
Yeah.
Probably were, right? No?
Yeah.
He's a pretty rich guy.
Rich guy is a famous guy. I'm sure he's very famous also.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's a good catch. So I would say basically that we're going to see three levels or three layers here of understanding what exactly the remez is. On one level, I don't know that we think about it this way. This was the first Jewish marriage.
Right, because Avraham Avinu was the first
Jew. Yeah, converted with a wife already, you know. Uh-huh. But Yitzchak is the first Jewish marriage. So here there could be messages about Jewish marriages because this is the first one. That's one possibility.
Oh, so it has to be worth more than Shavuot Bruta, not 10.
Is it at least a Shavuot Bruta?
Yeah.
There should be more women walking around with nose rings.
Okay. My wife just finished learning with a collar that Taka has a nose ring.
So
you know that I looked it up online, and the hole could start to close within minutes. Hers apparently doesn't. She's had it with us. But there's it's not so push. Anyway, number two.
Because a mitzvah's a problem.
It is, yes, I'm going on. Number two. Maybe it's a function of the future relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. I think it might be, maybe this is our default option, maybe, that there's some hint about something that has to do with the two of them coming together. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's a function of Klal Yisrael. Well, since it's the first Jewish marriage, and Yitzchak and Rivka are the, you know, Av and Anein, maybe it's really teaching us something about Klal Yisrael in the future, Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim type of idea. Maybe it's something like that. So we'll see. As we go, all of these ideas will present themselves. So as you go to the next Mari Malkum, it's a Medrash Haggadah. So Medrash says, Nezem Zav, Huaya, Kiddushin. Yeah, so those of you in the back that selected the option of Kiddushin, so you win a parting gift, you can have Kishka.
And there's only one piece left, so grab it.
So, there's an interesting chat. It's a very interesting chat, because by the way, they didn't agree to send her. If you're going to say, like Rashi, when she took it, she didn't accept it as Kesef Kiddushin. And she's three, she's under her father's rishus. So it would come out very interesting if you want to get involved. And along this over here, is it retroactive kiddusha?
You can't make it retroactive. You can't have...
Okay, you know, Lumbus, very interesting sugya. But that would come out to be very interesting. If you're going to really insist this is kind of kiddusha, then that you'll have some interesting conclusions or interesting questions. The Medrash goes on. Okay, I'm not sure, Pshad, here. Those of you that are going to look into this later, please let me know what you find. The Medrash says that the two bracelets, Shem Masayim V'chamishim, somehow come out to be worth 250. I'm not sure if that's because we're making a cheshbon about the Asara Zahav. Maybe in some other calculation it comes out to be 250. I wasn't able to figure out what exactly 250 is.
250 what?
It doesn't say why it's 250.
Yeah, the Medrash doesn't say. So if you could figure this out, I would be grateful. I'm not sure, maybe Ellie, maybe you're charged, maybe on that.
The Kishka's still available.
There's more Kiddush, whoever figured this out. But that's what the Medrash says, that somehow it comes out to be 250, 200, because she was that. Well, in other words, this is the Ksuba. That's the idea. This is the Ksuba. She was a Basula, so she gets 200. The Tosefes Ksuba is another 50. So it comes out to be 250. There's Kiddushin, and there's a Ksuba. That's what the Medrash is saying.
But you don't pay the Ksuba up front.
Well, at the wedding, you know.
Especially, well, no, you'd have a problem with that because she took the sheep later on.
Okay. Well, like I said, all of these are things that are remuzzin to maybe what's supposed to be done or whatever, but that's what the Medrash says, so I'll leave it at that. Then the Medrash says, Dover Acher, Beka Mishkaloi, Keneged Beka Lugulgoyles. You have a pasuk later on about Machasis HaShekel. The pasuk by Machasis HaShekel says that the half shekel is a Beka, that's the weight, apparently called a Beka, for each skull. Gulgola skull is a skull. So a beka per person means a half a shekel per person. So there's some kind of remez here to machasis hashekel. Alright, so we've got work cut out for us. Why in the world would machasis hashekel be hinted to in the nose ring that Eliezer gives to Rivka? The Medrash goes on, tzmidim al yadeha, and two bracelets on her hands, can I get shnei luchos avonim? The two luchos are apparently hinted to in the two bracelets. Rashi helps us a little bit with that one, just in terms of connection, because he writes shnei tzmidim remez shnei luchos mitzumados, that the luchos were doubled, or like a tzmid bakar is the pair of animals that you put on your yoke. So there were two of them. So she has two hands or two bracelets. So that's Rashi just makes a weak connection. We don't know why. So it's a
pretty random thing to
seems pretty random. Remez. Yeah. So we have machzis shekel and the luchos. The Chizkuni, this gets us started, at least on our first layer here. Chizkuni writes, Becca, does anyone want to take a guess what the word means or where it comes from? I'll give you a hint. And this isn't what the Chizkuni says, at least not this pasuk, which is so interesting to me. Last week's parsha, you have this word, Vayivaka Atzei Ola. Yeah? Good. Excellent. Awesome. If you were in my hair, I'd give you a dollar. So, Vayivaka Atzei Ola.
Kishka, why are you? That's worth more than a dollar.
See, he splits. Avram split the wood. So what's Becca mean? To split, yeah? To split. Machas is a shekel. A half a shekel. Oh. Split. Oh. Shekel. So take a look at the Chizkuni. Becca mishkaloi. Shekel chaluk l'shnei chatzoyin. A shekel split into two parts. Lashayin. Notay yadchal. Netay yadchal ayam. V'ko'eihu. That's the pasuk he pins it on. That Moshe Rabbeinu is told to spread your hand over the sea and split it by Yamsuf. Why does he pick that pasuk? Why doesn't he go back to Vivakat Seyola? So I think he did that on purpose. I think Chizkuni did that because Kasha Zivugim Kekriyas Yamsuf. Yeah? The Chazal Teyas. So he picks the pasuk, the Bedavka, by Kriyas Yamsuf. And that Bedavka has to do with the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin, which is the connection, the first Jewish marriage here, is pointing out that there's a Becca, there's a half, because you're taking two halves and making the whole. So in the very first Jewish marriage, there's already a remez to the idea that, first of all, it's Kasha Kikriyas Yamsuf, Vayivaka, well, this is supposed to give Yivka'eyu, and that each one of them is considered to be only a half. And the Machas is a Shekel, of course, is that idea as well, as some of the Mepharshim point out.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Eliezer, I said before that I felt it was condition.
Mm-hmm.
But Rivka doesn't know that it's condition. She doesn't know that.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe retroactively it becomes that, though, because once you received it, the question was, what does the Medrash mean, right? Because it says condition, so what do we do with it? Yeah. So what do you want to say?
I'm just saying, so he understands that he's creating condition here, but she doesn't understand. Okay, maybe because I gave him water, he's giving me presents back.
Yeah.
So doesn't the woman, the girl, have to know that she's now being entered into a marriage contract by accepting these bracelets? And
so you can take this in one of two directions. Either you can, learn a lumdus here and say that it could be work, that it could work retroactively, that she did receive it, and when she accepts it, maybe retroactively it could be valid. Maybe you could say that. Or you could say, you could insist that it doesn't matter. That what's happening here is in the first Jewish marriage, Kadosh Baruch Hu is sneaking in a hint to us for the rest of time. I want you to know that what marriage is about is two halves becoming a whole.
I think that would be a grading for the book.
So the Apirion, Sefer called Apirion, which by the way is Rav Shlomo Gansfried, who is the author of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. So he has an interesting ha'ara here. He claims, Nasan Marjin, that this was not an expensive gift.
Really?
I really don't know. But that's what
it had to be at least a Shavuta.
He says to underline this end of the line here, trying to go quickly. Lo haya mishkal and mufla.
That's the way to impress your future along with being a
chidja. Yeah, so that's the whole point that he makes, that obviously this is intended to be a remez, and not
and what was Lovin so mesmerizing?
Right, about? So you may ask, so maybe there are other things, and okay, it's a fair question. Ma betza. So this is great. He says like this.
Was it Yaakov with the... Sorry. They were eating and he gave the expensive gifts?
He had nothing.
Who gave the expensive gifts?
Here. Wow. Yes, here. Wow. Question is, what did he give her? But later on, he definitely gives everybody gifts and he has all kinds of... He has 10 camels laden with all kinds of stuff, you know? But what did he give her? Anyway, so listen to this. There are no women here, right? So he says, I think that a woman should probably think. You guys remember the Gemara that says Nashim b'Mayzachion? Women, what are they zovet olam haba for? They have no mitzvah Talmud Torah.
No, their husbands learn. They support their husbands learning Torah. So yeah. They get it.
So there has to be like an explanation.
Isn't that the story?
Since they don't have that mitzvah Talmud Torah, you have to somehow figure out like how they're zoichet everything. So he says, you know, you'd think that a woman should basically say to herself, especially Rivka, why would I want to get involved in all of this olam haba stuff and limud Torah, whatever? So my husband's going to be doing all of that, but I'm not. Better off for me to marry a rich guy, and I'll have a nice life in this world.
He was a rich guy.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe the best of both worlds. So he says, but here it's not worth a lot. That's what he claims, that what he gave was not worth a lot. Lo haya mishkal muflog. It wasn't like an exorbitant amount. See, he says that the idea of the Becca is that was the message to her, or maybe to women for the future, maybe. That the way that it works, it's not shot that there's you and there's your wife and that there's you and there are separate people and you get your schar and she gets hers and that it's no, it's a machas, it's a shekel. They both are one.
I get it.
So if you're going to have a guy,
the message is really don't expect expensive gifts from your husband. That's what the message is.
The message is that you can't
say. Can
you
put on the woman's chat, please?
He's going to be the one that's going to be learning, and he'll get the schar, and it has nothing to do with me. Because you reach a chaitzi, or reach a half. So whatever he accomplishes is for you. Whatever you accomplish is for him. And that it's all really part of one whole. And that's why it's expressed as a beka, as a machas, as a shekel. He has a small ha'ari here. He says, did you ever notice that it's only the men that are obligated to give the machas, as a shekel?
As
opposed to women have a chiyuv.
Women don't want anything.
Women do not have a chiyuv to give machas.
They don't want anything. It's all the men.
Well, they have plenty of things. Don't
worry.
It's all the
men.
Why do we give them? Why do we have money to give to them?
By the meeting?
Yeah. So we can give more money to stock up.
Why? Then I part of it.
But here's my question. Where does he have the certainty? I mean, what I'm going to say is a position of the courses. But where does he have the certainty?
Who's he?
Eliezer.
The certainty to make the claim. Yitzhak, had Yitzhak been at the Chesed Eagle, he would not have said this.
Wait, what do you mean?
If you continue to win his reason, he's done Kimsadi. Cool. Effectively, he's saying that it is a big thing to be in a zivuk with him. Okay. Why?
Why?
Because the Machatit Shekel is the kapara for the men.
No. I think he's saying it as a separate point. I think what he's saying is that she needs to realize that she's half of him. That if you marry him, it's not pshat that you reach a whole. It's that you reach a half. So if you're marrying a tzaddik, then you're half the tzaddik.
That's a Hallmark card, by the way.
Okay. And then he says, and I want to tell you something in addition. It's a separate point here. Because that's what I was going to get into. He says, I want to tell you something else. Women do not have a chiyuv of machas as a shekel. The men do. Why is that? He says, because historically, the men were the ones that sinned by the ego, and not the women. And the machas is a shekel, is a kapara for the cheta ego. So if both the husband and wife, so to speak, have to atone for it, so then they should give a whole shekel.
But only the men do.
Only the men do, because they're correct. Only. But the half is because it's missing a half.
Correct.
They're only a half.
So he's coming to say, you should know that if he was to be there, he would have said.
That's not what he's getting at.
I think that's what he's getting at.
He's saying that you should always know, a wife needs to know that she's a half of a whole. And that's the reason why the men give a machas is a shekel and not a whole shekel, as taxes for the carbonos, because it atones for the egel, and only the men were responsible. That's all. I think that's all. In any case, that's a hara, but that's the vort. The vort is when it comes to Jewish marriage, we need to know that each of us is a half, and together we're a whole, but independently we're certainly not. The Medrash writes, Asar is a hav mishkalam, as a rem is lasar is a dibros, right? We spoke about this. So the chida, which is the penei David, see, he writes, he kind of extends Rosh Shlomo Gansfried a little bit. And he says, you'll notice that it takes the machasis ha-shekel to then get to the bracelets. It's the nose ring is the machasis ha-shekel, and that gets you to the bracelets, which are the luchos, with matan Torah. So he says, just like you find by a husband and wife that they have to become one, so too, do you remember what we find by Klal Yisrael before Har Sinai? Vayichan sham Yisrael negad ahar. That Klal Yisrael had to become one before they were able to receive the Torah. And only through that achdus is where you get Torah. He says it's the same idea. That it's two levels and two layers of the same idea. That just like Klal Yisrael has to become united in order to get the Torah, for any husband to learn Torah and to get the Torah, he has to be one with his wife. And if you have a relationship and a family like that where there's that unity, then he can go ahead and learn Torah. And then it's attributed to her because she's the other half. But you have to be able to have the achdus before you can go on to the next step of the Kabbalah Satorah. That's what he writes. Is al yedei ha'achdus harum is machas ha'shekel v'zuz zoche shnei tzmidim. That's how you get to the bracelets. V'chein ha'ishim tiyeh ba'achdus in ba'lo yizke ba'lo la'torah. And the same thing, that's the way the relationship works with husband and wife, for him to be zoche to Torah as well. He says, that's what Chazal say. Shari b'la isha, shari b'la Torah, etc., etc. Anyway, so that's what the Chida extends this as well. So there are three levels going on over here already, yeah? There's stam marriage in general, Becca. There's the idea of Yitzchak and Rivka, that she's being told, don't think for a minute it would be better for you to just have Olam Hazeh. You're in unity with the Tzaddik. You're half of the Tzaddik. Whatever happens with him is attributed to you. So you should leave where you are and don't just live it up in this world. Be part of Olam Haba. Be part of the future of whatever
so
all of this is
on
about.
Olam Hazeh, why would she care about Eliezer's camels? I mean, it demonstrated a tremendous... Well, that was one of the tests. It demonstrated tremendous character. So it's a little bit of a... Someone so involved in... Someone who only cares about Olam Hazeh is not going to demonstrate such fine character.
What she knew was coming.
I just feel like we're degrading Rivka a little bit according to Pshat. She was definitely not there. She was a very righteous individual.
She was young. She was a balas chesed. We don't know too much else about
her.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe like she was just kind.
Yeah.
You know, as far as you know. There are people that have nations that just want to give. And
okay.
Maybe they're not shkofi yet.
Yeah, I mean, she was coming from a way to there. And number three, on a level of Klal Yisrael, so this whole, it's a model. It's a model for male and female and Klal Yisrael, that means Achdus and Klal Yisrael and even other things as well. Okay, we're weiter. So the Degam Achne Ephraim, see, he has an interesting point here. What are the osios of Becca?
Beis Kuf Ayin.
And how much did the bracelets weigh?
10.
So what? How do you say 10? 10 is what letter?
Esher.
Yud. Oh. So what letters do you have now? Beis Kuf Ayin and Yud. Spells?
Yaakov.
So already there's a remez to Yaakov. Wow. And why that name? What about Yisrael? Because that name refers to somebody else whose heel he was holding on to, which is Esher. So already in the Kiddushin or whatever this gift is that's transferring over here, is a remez to Yaakov and Esav. That's what the Degam Achne Ephraim points out.
What's the remez to Esav?
Because Akev, the reason he was named Yaakov is because he was holding the Akev of Esav. Otherwise, he would be called Yisrael.
So Eliezer knew those also?
Pasha's not. Pasha's just a hint from Avraham, or it's just a remez that has been planted here, you know, for us to understand it, but it's that what. There are those that learn that it was a remez for Avraham, that just like you see Rashi says again and again, that Avraham went to this place because of what was going to be in the future, and he went to this place that was going to be in the future, that he understood or had a sense of the future, and so he was including these remezim in. That's how definitely some are going to learn. You think that's far-fetched. Okay, fair enough. But that's the Degam Achne Ephraim. It's fascinating. Why does it have to be a nose ring and bracelets? Nose ring and bracelets? What about finger rings? What about the kumas? Let's not talk about that one. Anyway, so if you take a look at the...
Isn't that what the men gave towards the eagle?
Yes, Yes, we're going to come to that too. Very good. Very sharp. Very sharp. Very sharp. Whoa. Get to that in the end. So the Maharal.
The Kishka Prize is still here.
Still there. Still there. Oh, Kishka. The Medrash points out that you should just know, by the way, that Nezem could theoretically be other things. The Medrash writes Nezem Ha'af. So I pointed that out. I underlined it. Derech Chaim is the Maharal's explanation of Pirkei Avos. Listen to this. This is Sachap. He says, what did the Machasis HaShekel pay for? It was a tax.
That you said
for what?
Upkeep of the business.
Yeah.
Not upkeep.
No. The roads and all that else to be on the regular.
Karbanos Hatzibur. It was for the Tamid, Shachar, Tamid, Shabbat, Abayim. Karbanos Hatzibur. It was for Karbanos Hatzibur. Karbanos, of course, are referred to in the Torah as Reach. Nichoyach. You want to put the two and two together? The nose. The Karbanos, the Machas is a Shekel, the Rem is a Machas is a Shekel, relates to Karbanos. So, of course, it's going to be hindered by the nose because it's a Reach. It's a sweet smelling fragrance, Tasha. That's the chaf of number one of the Maharal. Nice. Number two, he's
almost 4 days.
What was that? Missed that.
The af?
What was that? Yeah.
Because the Karbanos are called Reach Nichoyach. So the Machas Shekel went for Karbanos Hatzibur, which is a Reach Nichoyach. So when you're hinting too, the Shekel, the Machas, is Shekel Dafka, so it's in the nose, because the nose is the smell of the Reach Nichoyach. So what about the bracelets on the hands? He says, oh, that's easy, he says. That's a Pasuk in Chumash. Because the Shtei Haluchos correspond to two Yadayim. How do you know? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu describes him coming down from Har Sinai, he writes, Ushnei Luchos, Al Shtei, Yadai. And the two Luchos were on my two hands. So obviously, the Luchos are hinted to by the word, by the hands. And then he says, wait a minute, but there's more to it than that. Because how many fingers do you have?
Ten.
And how many on each hand?
Six. Five.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11. Anyway, so that's the chamesh. There were five on each one. Binanon lemakom, binanon lechavera. So the hands mamish are perfect to symbolize the luchos and the seris adibrais and the division between the binanon lechavera and binanon lemakom. It makes perfect sense that should all be referred to in bracelets on the hands. That's the second comment of the Mara. Rabbeinu Bachai has a lot to say over here, so we'll just go skim it rather quickly. But he writes basically, we need to know also that the purpose of this shidduch, ultimately, of course, is Klal Yisrael. And what defines Klal Yisrael is Kabbalah Satorah. So the Ramazim have to have something to do with Kabbalah Satorah. But what's going to come out, he says, underline this line, that who's going to come from her as a nation that's going to receive the Torah. And he says, do you want to take a guess on how many words there are in the Aseres Hadibrois?
630.
Nope, way less.
248.
So he writes, and I didn't count it, Kuf Ayin Beis, Osios Becca. 172. You'll have to count how many words there are and tell me you want. You gotta sometimes be careful with dashes and stuff
which,
like that.
Beshanan or in
yes, he doesn't say. So you have to take a look and compare. I think it's the Yisrael, but take a look and tell me what you find. But he writes that there's another remez here. And by the way, that's the remez in the nose ring. Not in the tzmid. So that's also interesting.
176 is
that? 2. 172.
Isn't that the longest parsha also?
176. And then he says, you should know that the word shekel, which of course is used in both of these places, that the word shekel is a notrikon, is a contraction of the words esh and kol. Shekel, esh, kol. Shekel, esh, kol. Esh, kol is shekel. Why? Because those are the two ways that the Torah was given, was through esh, and through kol. That's what he writes. And Haman, that's his Aseres Alefim Kikar Kesef, was supposed to counter all of these things. So that was, you find a lot of connections here, by the way, Megillah Esther, some of them to Shara, some of them to what Haman was trying to do. And then he says,
The fee he paid Achashverosh?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's a correlation between the two.
He's a Chusat Torah. Shehi anoichi, the zuchus of the Torah, which of course the first, the Aseres Hadibrois, it begins on Chiyah Shem Alekecha, Shasinim Bana Lekabel, Haisa Imoi Batzlach HaZaderech. That's exactly what he says when he repeats what happened to him on the way. Anoichi Baderech Nochani Hashem. Which just means, you know, anoichi, me, he's talking to himself, he's talking to himself. Me, HaKadosh Baruch helped me on the way, Kvitzah HaZaderech, right? He skipped. He got there, what took 3 days to 1 day, right? He skipped. So the Rabbeinu Bachai interprets that to mean, you know what, Nachani Hashem, you know how Hashem helped me that this should all be so miraculous? Anochi. Because the whole thing was for the Zuchus of the Torah. this whole shidduch is all about the Kabbalah Satara. So Anochi, meaning the Aseres HaDibros, Kabbalah Satara, Nochani Hashem, is how Hashem allowed this all to happen. And then he writes, unbelievably, like he writes in a few other places, that everything that happened to Rivka, what?
Which starts with an Aleph, and he's Ar, not Baruch.
Okay. And he writes that everything that happened to Rivka was a Maisa Avos Siman Labanim, and he has two different parts to this over here. I'm going to skip it for now because I don't want to take too long. But you can take a look at this paragraph. I underline all these different sections. All these different things that happened both to Eliezer and to Rivka happened later on to Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim and when they were in the Midbar. And certain things happened to them. He says that there was a Malach that escorted them and that the Mayim rose up to greet her and the water followed them in the Midbar. And there was an Eved that gave the Matana. Eliezer gives the Matana. And there's Eved Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to as the Eved Hashem, and he's the one that gives the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Anyway, there's more to it than that. The Parsha is doubled, he said. The Parsha of Eliezer is doubled, right? He repeats the whole story.
Yeah, he says it twice.
And the Aseres HaDibros is repeated twice. Oh, my God. And Moshe Rabbeinu has the whole Torah repeated, all of the mitzvahs of the Torah repeated, Sefer Devarim is Mishnah Torah, so that's also repeated. So that's what he writes. I'll just read the last line.
That's pretty incredible.
All the various components of the marriage between Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Vanav, that eventually gave birth to Yaakov and all of the children, the Shvatim, and we came out of him, obviously, as a nation that received the Torah. Nirmaz kol ze b'shlichus eved, l'malas av, is all hinted to in the shlichus of this particular eved, according to the level of the avos, was the DNA. I don't generally say any chidushim over here. I want to make a suggestion that could be totally wrong. So that's what's called a chidush. Maybe you'll say along these lines that if the Eved is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, then maybe you could say a pshat in Vayikach and not Vayitain. Because it means that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliezer, they're the same person, so to speak, in this context, and therefore he's taking this and he's giving it over, but the giving over is not really spelled out. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai. He received the entire Torah. But when it came to giving it to Yeshua, it doesn't say Yeshua kibel mi Moshe. Because the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu is compared to the sun and Yeshua the moon. The idea that Moshe Rabbeinu can receive the entire Torah and know all of the Torah and have insights into all of the Torah could not be given over to anyone else in the world.
So what, Eliezer had that?
So Eliezer has to, like, the giving over is not the problem. Because taking it,
so in a sense he was greater?
It, but it can't really fully be given over.
He's greater than Rivka?
If you're going to compare this to Matan Torah, then maybe the idea is that it can't really be fully given over. And therefore the Nesina is left out. That's my... It could be totally wrong.
What's fascinating is that on the other, we did all this, that he was still considered a person.
Yeah, I think that's what Ellie's getting at also, is that the Aleph is interesting.
Yeah, it's Rashi. Rashi talks it.
Yeah, it's
hers. Mm-hmm.
He's still serving Avraham.
I think he's still serving Avraham.
That's the, you know.
He goes back and forth between being an Ish and being an Eved. And by the way, that's one of the Ramazim. It's the Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is called an Ish. And here it calls him an Ish. Not an Eved.
Shepherds, not farmers. Because the ground was cursed.
Oh.
You see that from
Kain Hevel.
Eliezer is a descendant of Ham.
Right. Okay, so the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Shif says,
trying to rectify the curse that was in the ground.
We spoke about it, or avoid it. We spoke about it. We had machlokes about it every month. The Al-Shif,
that's my chiddush, I could be completely wrong.
Write it in pencil. So the Al-Shif says that there are Ramazim for the future here also. Not just in terms of Klaisa and Kabbalah Satera and all
the
others.
That was the future then, though. What Eliezer was doing is...
The layers we have here are Stam marriage, Yitzchak and Rivka, Klal Yisrael and Kabbalah Satira, and now we're going to go on to Ramazim for Klal Yisrael in the future. So Al-Sheikh writes, there's another Medrash that writes that when it says the weight, it doesn't mean the weight of the nose ring, it means the weight of the stone that was on the nose ring. That's the Medrash, take a look. What's the difference?
Yeah, so he's going to...
No. So the Medrash writes
gem.
There was an...
Is a gem on the nose ring?
Yes. That's what this is, a medrash like that. I'm not saying all the midrashim agree, but he quotes a medrash, Bereishis Rabba, Samach, Zion, Evan, Toiva, Hayabra. So this, if you want to take a look inside, I underline those words. That's the Al-Sheikh, Evan, Toiva, Hayabra. How much did it weigh? A Becca. And then the Tzmid and the bracelets. So he asks, like, why did Chazal feel they have to say it's a stone? There's no reference to a stone in the pasuk. Where are they getting that from? There's some kind of stone in the nose ring. It's just like they made it up.
Good choice, brother.
See, he's bothered by that. And he says, He also points this out, that he claims also that the amount of this gift was petty. It was not an expensive gift. It's not a lot of money. So if he's carrying 10 camels laden... By the way, I think the name Jamal comes from camel. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that for sure? Good. So he has 10 Jamals, and they're all carrying loads and loads of stuff. And he gives her like the Cracker Jack box nose ring. You know, that's really what he's going to give her. She says, what's going on over here? So he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6... Six lines down. Remez Davarsa. Avraham hinted. He says it straight up that it was Avraham hinting this, and that it was a, because he was a Navi and he knew all kinds of things. And fine. He writes, Shemisrei Rivka and Yitzchak, Hayasi Letzeis Esav Lo'ilam, because there's a problem in the Shidduch. Actually, two problems in the Shidduch. One problem in the Shidduch is that Esav's coming from the Shidduch. The other problem in the Shidduch is that even from Yaakov, there's going to be an Egel, which was the worst Avera Klal Yisrael ever did. It took us back to Adam HaRishon Godom HaRishon.
Yeah.
So we have two big problems in the Shidduch. Avraham Avinu says, I see Esav and I see Yaakov. So I need to build in to the connection between them the antidote, the tikkun.
Which is the stone?
Which is the stone.
How? What is the stone?
Okay, let's see.
I'm missing something. No, what are we missing?
Let's see.
Not so, the Urim and Tumim. No, okay. Is this Choshen? I mean,
you're not going to be able to guess it. I would never have figured this out. But it's a pasuk.
Shoham, the Shoham something.
If you take a look,
most were made out of stone.
If you take a look in Brachos, Perek Memtes, Pasuk Chaf Dalet is talking about Yosef and it's talking about all of in Bayichi, all of the brachas that Yaakov gives before he dies, and the bracha to Yosef talks about that you're going to be the Evan Yisrael.
Sure,
the Evan Yisrael. It's also there, but it talks about Evan Yisrael. Evan Yisrael. So who's the Evan Yisrael? Yosef. What does it say in Ovadia? Beis Yaakov Eish. Beis Yosef Lehava. Beis Esav Lekash. And forget about it. The spark is going to come from Yaakov. The spark, the flame, is Yosef. Shmar Yosef. Then the Yosef is going to devour Esav because Esav is like straw. And so the spark that's going to destroy Esav
is Yosef.
The Evan Yisrael. The Evan Yisrael. So why is there an Evan on the nose ring all of a sudden? Because that was a remez. So the Evan that's going to come, that's going to be the antidote to the problem in the Shidduch.
So, oh, so you mean so stone makes things better on a ring? I mean,
it represents Yosef. It was a hint of the fact that Yosef is going to come and get rid of the problem in the Shidduch.
It's not getting rid of the. I'm trying to listen to this. I get the reference to Yosef being the stone.
Yeah.
I get the reference to Yaakov and Esau. But why? Is that a remedy? Why is this not meaning that they're just saying, no, Yosef...
The stone is a hint to the remedy. The stone hints to the
and
fact...
And Yosef's going to take wipe away Yosef, in a sense.
So the problem in the
Shidduch... So you need all three. You need all three components, and that's just...
So Yosef, actually, because he was Yaakov, until Yosef was born, would not approach Yosef. He was in fear of him.
Right, exactly. Prophet. He wasn't ready to leave love on until
Yosef
he had
born,
Yosef.
He knew that he had the koyach to face Yosef.
Okay. That's what Rashi says on the spot. 100%. Kishka.
It's gone. So it took it. Someone go get more.
The crust of the cocoa.
Are there any more banana lashy toppings?
Sure have.
And what's the other, and what's the tikkun to chayta eiko?
You said shekel. Right. Not shekel.
Why is the shekel? So that's the bekel, the gogoyles. So that's already a hint to what's a tikkun on some level for chayta eiko. So that's what he writes over. Yeah, Remez, and after that's gone, what do you have next when you're done with all of the problems in the Shidduch? You have the benefits of the Shidduch, which of course is the Aseret HaDibros, Kabbalah Satira, and the Luchos, and that's the two bracelets. So that's what he says. Because the stone and the Becca and the Machas HaShekel are in the nose ring. So after he gives the nose ring, which is the getting rid of the problem, then comes along the Luchos, hinted to in the bracelets. The Chidah is a slightly different angle, that he says that the egel is, this is what, who said, you said, right, Maishi said this, that the nezem is what was used to make the egel. So once we can, you know, move past that, so then you can move on to the Torah and to, you know, to other things. But in a Hanami, it's a remez over there.
There's no coincidences in the Torah, basically.
So the egel azov was dealt with by the ish, who comes with the golden luchos, and the gold represents the second luchos because it has to do with midas adin, and the tshuva that they had to do, and then so that's why it's bedafka made out of gold, which represents midas din. If you remember the Ramban on the eagle, see, he makes a big deal out of that. And finishing this up, the Maharal in Gur Aryeh, so he asks that kasha that, you know, that bothers everybody, that did she really know it and whatnot. But this is interesting. He says that the first thing that so she's a balas chesed, and the whole nisayon, the whole test that just happened was a test of chesed. And so she, because she starts off with a balas chesed, he hints to her that you require the machasis hashakal, avoda, korbanos, avoda. That's the hint in the machasis hashakal, in the beka, in the nose ring. But that's not good enough, because the world stands on three things. You have chesed, you have avoda, and what do you need?
Torah.
Which is hinted to in the bracelets. So you have all three components, she's the balas chesed. But you need, in order for the world to stand, so you need all three things. And even though she didn't understand the hint, he says that straight up, her mazel understood the hint. There's a reference to that Gemara and Megillah, yeah? He wasn't a Navi, and they were Naviim, but he had a sense of things that did, like Daniel. So Daniel, his mazel saw, he didn't see. So there's something that has to do with whatever that means. So I think the Pashup Shad is that, you know how I've mentioned this before by Tashlich, that you go to the water and you throw your sins into the water. Like, what's that all about? By the Nevi'im, and Hashem said to the Navi, go put on a yoke and tell Klal Yisrael that the yoke of Babel is going to be on your shoulders and you're going into Galus. Why you got to play pretend? What's with the dress up?
Symbolic.
So, unfortunately, right. It's not just symbolic. It's that it's begun. That when there's a physical component to it, it's begun.
The Avos lived as Gerim and so that the Galus began earlier.
That's why right. So one of the reasons why
So and then also when we go and we say Tashlich,
my style very similar to him is that it manifests itself physically in all of us.
Right. This DNA of everything is happening.
Doing something world.
Right. So it attaches itself to something. It becomes the DNA. It becomes something that's gonna happen later because it's already happening. So forget the idea of the remez, even forget the idea of whether she knew or she didn't know, but it's in play. It's been put into motion. All of those things are in play because of the remez that's already there. Maybe that's what he means also. I don't know for sure. Anyway, so that's what he says. He saw she was a gomelas chesed. You need the Torah, you need avoda, and with these three things, you're going to be able to create Klal Yisrael, and that's what this zivug is going to come about. So in this paragraph, I underline the whole paragraph. But oh, ki elu shlosha dvarim timsa b'Yisrael. You find these three components in Klal Yisrael. You find Torah b'Yisrael, avoda b'Yisrael, gomel chasadim b'Yisrael, because Chazal say, kol mi she'ena gomel chesed ena b'Yisrael. If the person he does not do chesed, he's not a Jew. Why do Klal Yisrael have all of these three components within them? Because this is the foundations of the world. That's why the Avos had to have these three components, because they're the DNA of the foundation of the world. Mina avos ba Yisrael. That's how it all came to us. We inherited these midos. Ramez lezeh, ramez la. So therefore, she's being hinted to here. It's hinted to her. Kevan shehi gomelas chasadim. Since she is gomelas chesed, that's what she did. Roi hi sheyava mimena hazera. It's appropriate that from her specifically should come the zera, the children hamavurach that are blessed. Ashalahem elu shloisha dvarim. Because that's the amudei oilam. See, he just says slightly differently in the Derech Chaim and Pirkei Avos. He says slightly differently. He says, "V'ramas la, kevan sheyesh la gemilus chasadim shehu amud echad ruuya hila Yitzchak." So she's apropos for Yitzchak in that particular relationship because Yitzchak represents avoda, she represents chesed, and Yaakov represents Torah and Emes. So that's why this is the perfect zivug that they all need to come together. So that is the various remezim of the Nezem and the Tzmidim, marriage, Yitzchak Rivka, Klal Yisrael Matan Torah, and Klal Yisrael ultimately with what are going to be the big challenges that are going to face them, and the Tikkunim ultimately with Mashiach ben Yosef and Machzi Shekel, and you read all the consequences of the Ega.